Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, band.video, vigilante.tv, Odyssey, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks so much. We appreciate it. We know you have like 8 million options out there. You can connect with me through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, or you can follow me on Twitter, at Macroaggression. We have an Instagram account as well. It's at Macroaggression Podcast. Tony Merkle manages that. So check it out if you're interested. Hey, thank you to our brand new sponsor, EMP Shield. I'm afraid to tell you that you may be needing the services of EMP Shield sometime in the near future. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what gives me that idea. Just random balloons flying over the country. You know, nobody knows what's going on in our airspace, things like that. Well, look, the scientists over at EMP Shield created a product that actually works. It's way better than military grade. In fact, not only that, this thing is many times more efficient than single use military designs. It can handle 40 plus EMP strikes. But let's be honest, if they get us with 40 EMPs, I don't know if this is a world worth living in. But the product works, man. You can use it on your home. You can use it on your cars, on your motorhomes, and your boats, generators. They've got bundle packages where you can get multiple EMP shields for a variety of devices. This device will protect against EMPs, solar flares, and lightning. Hopefully you don't need it, but if you do, you've got access to it. It's fitted to the household circuit breaker with just four wires. It installs like a type 2 surge protector. There's online installation videos if you're so inclined. Maybe you want to have an electrician install it to your house. It's not a bad idea. I know I personally would not take on that task, but there's plenty of videos that can show you how to hook it up to your car. Starting price on this, about $389. Probably well worth it, obviously, if you have an EMP attack and you're going to find yourself in a world of hurt. So I'll tell you what, it's available in most countries. Go ahead, check it out. Go take a look. Go to empshield.com. Read up about it for yourself. If you find something that you like, use the promo code MACRO on your way out to save yourself a little bit of money. Again, this is like preventative measures. Hopefully you don't need it. But if you do, if you're paranoid like me, you probably want to have one or two of these things installed on your devices. Also, thank you to Legal Shield. Apparently, shielding is the theme of the day here, but Legal Shield has been in business for 50 years. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And what it is it's the collective buying power of all of us directed towards high power law firms in your area. It gives you access to an attorney for $1 a day, $30 a month. Very reasonable. I asked this very simple question. Do you have a will? you have your last will and testament already done. I just got back from an Acapulco where we're at a conference talking about how you don't want the state to get involved in your affairs. The worst thing you can do is die, and then the state starts getting involved in dealing with your relatives. You don't want that. Got to have yourself a will, got to have a medical power of attorney. You've got to have a financial power of attorney, and those things cost money for yourself, for your spouse. You're in it for a couple grand with an attorney near you. So I'll tell you what, here's a suggestion. Maybe check out Legal Shield. And if you sign up for their program, you're going to have access to an attorney in your area. You'll immediately set up an appointment with them. Tell them what you need. I want to get these documents taken care of right away. Knock that stuff out in the first month. It's paid itself off for the next 4 or 5 years. So we built a landing page for you to take a look for yourself. You can go to www.don'tgetpushedaround.com and see for yourself. It's not just Legal Shield. They also have ID Shield. They have a small business plan. If you run a small business and you're not big enough to have your own legal department, but you have to have access to attorneys for documents and things like that, or you just have questions about your rights, you're going to have an app on your phone. You're going to have a phone number you can contact. If you ever get pulled over in the middle of the night and you don't want to talk to the cops and you want them to talk to your attorney, they're available 24/7. There will be somebody there to answer the phone. So look, I say take back the power. You don't want to get pushed around. That's why we came up with this web domain, don'tgetpushedaround.com. Take a look, see what you think. If you think it's right for you, pull the trigger on it and get yourself in a position where you are protected from the people that want to do you harm, meaning the entire U.S. government. Well, it's always a treat when Jimmy Jean comes to town because he brings lots of nuggets of information. He might have some nuggets of something else in his pocket too. I don't know. There's no judgment here, but he's the host of Into the Microcosm. And man, I'm telling you, Jimmy and I have gone on some exploratory adventures over the years with talking about some ideas. So it is my great pleasure to welcome back to the show, Mr. Jimmy Jean. Hello there, fine sir. Are you there?
I am here. How are you, Charlie? It's great to see you, man.
It's great to see you too, man. What's going on in the United Socialist Soviet Republic of California?
FEMA Region 9.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Where do we start, Charlie? It's been a while. It's been a while since you and I just hung out and talked about what's going on in the world. Believe me, there's plenty going on in the world.
PSYOPs on top of PSYOPs right now.
Yeah,
they get you distracted, man. They get you looking up in the air for Chinese weather balloons, spy balloons. But what do you mean, man? When the magician wants you to look up, shouldn't you really be looking down?
You probably should have been looking at that report that came out over at Veritas, but those balloons appeared right in the sky right at the same time that report came out. Everyone looked up. Nobody saw what was going on over there. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a staunch advocate of free speech and the American way. He straight up went 60 minutes undercover on that guy.
Yeah,
full on busted that guy. And look at that smarmy, you know, self-important little pissant guy that was on that video, you know, trying to impress his date.
Yeah.
But I'm about how he's helping to destroy the human race for a paycheck and a status symbol.
God, how could you live with yourself? I mean, imagine going to work every day, working for Pfizer, and your job is to make sure that you can make these you can make variations on, I don't know, mutating viruses and things like that so that your company can make a product in advance that defends against it is maybe a strong word, but is purported to defend against it just so that dickhead's stock price can go up 75 cents tomorrow. Well, I mean, I couldn't live with myself doing that.
Well, people are doing it and people are going to continue to do it because they're going to get a paycheck.
Yeah.
So we've gotten to a place where there is no loyalty, camaraderie or brotherhood anymore. It's more about, well, as long as I can keep my paycheck, dude, hey, sorry about that, bro. You know, hey, sorry, it's that way for you. You know, I got, you know, mouths to feed over here. You know, people are having to make these moral decisions about right or wrong based on whether they're going to get their check or not. And so you put people in a position where they're under the gun in some way. Oh, well, they threatened my family. They threatened my family. They said if I didn't take the money, they were going to do something to my family. That's why I did it. Yeah. You know, that's why I took the money or whatever, Charlie. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, to think, Charlie, that we're sitting here on the brink of World War III or whatever over some country that has absolutely nothing to do with us, except for the fact that there's a lot of dirty laundry from the Biden family over there. And that's the whole reason that they were, you know, that were involved. And so, the first people that got the, you know, it was the night of the long knives, the first night of the war, and everybody who knew something, their history.
Yep.
It's just the rest of it's collateral damage. And I don't know if the audience is familiar with collateral damage. You hear the term quite a bit, collateral damage this, collateral damage that. Well, it's because you're the collateral. If something, for the loan, that is. So all the citizens in your country are collateral for the loan of your country, for the IMF. So that's why you are collateral for that loan. So collateral damage, no different than a car or a truck or whatever. It's just a piece of something there out on the freight, you know.
And if things go wrong and they need to take that collateral in exchange, they've got us. They can take. I worry. I'll tell you what my line in the sand has always been. If I see blue helmets in America, I'm out. You know what I mean? If I see the United Nations being called in here to bring restore peace and order to the American people after a summer of love or a winter of discontent or 8 months of blackouts. I read that ad read for EMP Shield, but man, I'm telling you right now, there's been so much predictive programming about blackouts lately. Right before the Super Bowl, I was seeing a ton of it, and I was going, oh man, I got a bad feeling about this. And we know these pricks telegraph what they're going to do. So what's the plan, man? Can create chaos, offer the United Nations the reason to come in here to restore order, and then they never leave, and they put you in FEMA Region 9, and then you and I are bunk mates somewhere, turning big rocks into small rocks.
Yeah, well, I think there's a whole thing that's been created here. There has to be some sort of a global solution to it. Because the facts are coming out about the injectable, and those facts don't look too good. And no. It looks like there's billions of people around the world that may be affected by the injectable.
Yep.
And how do you cover that up and make somebody else liable for it? Because somebody's going to have to pay, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, boom, this train goes blah booey over there. They blew it up on purpose. And now you're spewing dioxins up into the atmosphere, Charlie. And then it's now raining down all over the Northeast. I mean, that could be the reason people aren't feeling too good. Must not be that injectable. Must be that dioxin over there in Ohio.
We learned about that strategy through the VAERS court system, when you can't bring a case for autism in the vaccine adverse effects reporting system, because it will get denied automatically. And part of the reason why they deny it automatically is because they look at the schedule for those shots, and they say you've got, they're overlapping. You know, one, you get one, and then 3 months later you get another, and then 9 months later you get another, and then a year later you get another. And it's plausible deniability. You can't point to one of them and say, this is the one that gave my kid autism. Because the defense is, well, how can you say it was our shot and wasn't one of these 76 other ones that you took? So they create this plausible deniability where it could be the other product. And you mentioned the train derailment and dioxins go up in the atmosphere, they come down, people start to feel sick. What is it? Well, I had a, I had a heart attack, right? I had a stroke. Well, is it because of the injectable? Or is it because you've been huffing in this toxic cloud that's above your house? I mean, mistakes were made, Jimmy. Mistakes were made. You know, we can't live in the past. We have to chart a course forward, you know, and you can see this. You can see the psychopaths working here where they take it and say, well, you know, we'll just blur the lines between what's really causing it. Because if the only thing different is that you've injected yourself with something, well, then clearly that's going to be the main culprit. But if everything is falling apart.
That's what I mean. If all of a sudden there's a World War III and there's nukes going off, the last thing anybody's going to be worrying about is what, you know, happened 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be, their boys are going to be going over into the draft or whatever. Or maybe not. I mean, let's just say your child will go to the draft. We can't determine.
Yeah. Gender is a construct, Jimmy. You know that.
Right. Well, Charlie, things seem like they're completely and totally, utterly out of control because we don't see any of the peacemakers stepping up. We don't see anybody saying, "Hey, let's everybody chill out." Everybody's on a path to destruction. It seems like,
yeah,
you know, no stopping it. It's like a runaway train, and people that are supposedly our representatives are not necessarily representing us, are they? I mean. No. Is there anything going on up in there, with these so-called representatives that have anything to do with real life at all, other than they keep spending more and more money on all this stuff, but you know, they don't have a clue about what's going on, or do they? I mean, honestly, your book, you know, the controlled demolition is, you know, what we're looking at, man. I mean,
I was at an Acapulco and I did my presentation and I was like, when Jeff and I wrote this book, like we didn't mean for it to be an instruction manual. Like, you guys have to understand, like we weren't saying go do this. We're, you know, but of course it doesn't matter. This is how it's getting done. It seems like, you know, I remember when we were growing up, the last thing in the world you wanted was nuclear war. Now you've got Washington Post and New York Times saying, well, actually, a small tactical strike isn't that bad. And maybe it would send them, you know, and they're trying to normalize this stuff. And you go, oh, wait a second. You're trying to talk us into World War III. Are you out of your fucking minds? Like, this is the end of a large portion of humanity. Of course, it makes me think that either I'm on some long-lasting acid trip that I desperately want to get off of, or these people are sent to destroy the world, and they're doing a pretty good job. It seems like we're one step away from this.
Yeah, I mean, you got the World Economic Forum over there, a bunch of non-elected individuals with backing and money telling us how it's going to be, and no real way to say anything about it. Everybody up in Congress and the Senate, they're telling us how it's going to be. Nobody's saying anything about it. I mean, you know, you used to get on your horse and ride up there. That's why you had a representative. See, representative was like a guy that lived in your area, and you would all go down there and yell at the guy. Go this and that and blah, 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 no, 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 no. And then he'd go up there. He'd ride his horse for months and finally go up there and represent you and all the people around you in your neighborhood and your area.
Yeah.
But, and it's not like that anymore, man. Number one, we don't need to send somebody somewhere because we're all there. We're electronically there already. Right. I mean, I think we're really to the point where we should eliminate this whole representative system that we have and allow people to represent themselves, because people are fully on board with going down the Bitcoin blockchain road. People want to do it.
Yep.
Okay. People are into it. Some aren't, but lots are. But you know, the bottom line is the blockchain itself is a way for us to positively identify somebody. So you have a choice. You can with all that's going on, Charlie, with the deep fakes and the ChatGPT and all this stuff, there's no real way to know that it's you on here.
Yeah.
Okay. And so until people start getting embarrassed by videos that come out that's not them, and until stuff starts happening where people are incriminated and they have to put a stop to it, Charlie, we have to put a stop to it. Look at Charlie's been seen coming robbing this bank. It's you, right. Charlie. You know, five guys saw you there. You know,
yeah, it's coming.
Right. So people will scream for the positive ID, even though now they don't want it because they say, well, you know, if you got positive ID, Charlie, well, you can track and trace me. Well, check it out, man. They're tracking and tracing you anyway.
Right.
You know, but the thing is, if you took control, if us as a citizenry took control of our digital identity, then it would eliminate the need to have somebody up there voting for me. We could all vote for what we wanted to vote for. We could all do our time, being active members in our country. But at this point, everyone just sits back because they feel like it's out of their control. Have you thought about the concept? And we might have talked about this before, but I mean, anarchy isn't black ski masks and dudes on skateboards spray painting Starbucks or whatever. No, it's a whole system, and it's no slaves, no masters.
Yeah.
I mean, what if we went to a more a digital anarchy where let's say each of us, we're just throwing this around, we're kicking it around, a couple of bros, we're kicking around ideas, you know, to make the country better. How about this? We figure out the exact amount of money every year that we all have to pay in taxes. And that amount of money that you have to pay in taxes, you decide where that money's going to get spent.
Yeah.
So in other words, if you got $30,000 you got to pay this year in taxes, you have $30,000 to take from your taxes and invest in the things that you want to move forward in America, as opposed to me just giving you my money and going, hey, Charlie, here, here's my money. Just go do something with it. Because we don't like what they're doing with it, do we?
No, and I've often thought about that. If you were able to allocate a percentage of your tax dollars, which I'm no fan of taxes, obviously, but if you are paying taxes and you have to pay them, to allocate it and say, well, these are the things that matter most to me: education, but not the Department of Education. Whatever it is, I'm not giving any money to I'm not giving any money to the military. I'm not doing that. I'm not giving any money to these sort of bullshit social programs, but right. I would allocate it here. Yeah, for sure.
You need roads over by your house. You'd give your tax money to fix those roads, but you wouldn't give it to Story Hour or whatever down there.
Right.
You know what I mean? You won't give $1 million to study the sex habits of cockroaches.
No.
Okay, but you will give $1 million to fix those roads over by your house or to fix that bridge.
Yeah.
You know, because we have people in control of the money and they're not spending it right. So once they spend it, then they just want more and more and more. And so we're in this death spiral. It seems to me, I mean, honestly, it looks more like everyone is aware. The appropriate people are aware and they're just stuffing their pockets with the silverware on the way out the door. Dude.
Anything that isn't nailed down, they're stealing on the way out. And that's how empires die. That's not the reason why they die. But when you see that happening, just unfettered looting of the place, you know you're in the final stage of that empire. It's all but done. They are they're cleaning out the silverware before they leave this place, man, because it's a husk of a country. It's been hollowed out intentionally. They've done it financially. They've done it socially. They're in the process of doing it socially, getting everybody confused about what it means to be a human being and what you are and how many genders there are and, you know, be a transhumanist, man, because that's the way you can live forever, except that you're no longer human and now you have no rights and now they can patent you and trade you and throw you in a wood chipper if they want to because they own you. Because you're a commodity now.
Rights. No human rights for you.
No, you're not an organic tomato seed. You're a genetically modified tomato seed. Now you're one deviation away from being a human being. And sorry, those rights are specifically for, those are human rights, and you legally, you're not human anymore. And so that's this wet dream of these psychopaths in Davos, where they talk about this fourth industrial revolution, the blending of man with machines. I mean, what a diabolical concept. But of course, you've got guys like Bill Gates running this, involved in it, and you go, well, who is the biggest financier or the largest shareholder of Monsanto? Well, Bill Gates was. And who's doing genetically modified seeds? Bill Gates, you know? So like you understand that they just took this concept. Well, if we can do this with a tomato plant, why can't we do this with Jimmy out there who's not bothering anybody? Why can't we make like a photocopy of Jimmy that's like, kind of looks like him, but it's like that photocopy you've run through, a photocopy of a photocopy, and then you get to a place where it's just kind of a little bit blurry around the edges, and it's no longer you, man.
Mm-hmm.
You're collateral.
Yeah, collateral damage. But, you know, we're just like, I mean, it's a hard realization to come to. As far as, you know, what we've been sold on and what we actually get. Okay. It's, America is like going to Burger King and looking at the burger on the menu. Okay. It looks good on the menu, right? That picture looks good. That lettuce, it's got water on it, it's glistening. The cheese is melting just right. You know, it's dripping. You're just ready to eat it. It's dripping. It looks delicious. Then you drive around the corner. You got to pay them before you can see the burger. Okay, give me your money. Give me your money, Charlie. And then you get your burger. Okay, but now they already got your money, right? So now you go around the corner, open that burger. It looks like a flat turd.
Yep.
Some squirts on it from, you know, a bottle. And, you know, they paint those black lines on the burgers at Burger King. In case you didn't know that. That didn't come off the grill. And that's just like America.
Yeah.
Because we got sold a dream, man. We got sold a dream. We say, you know, hey, man, you can be anything you want to be here in America. You can do anything you want to do. You're free, Charlie. You know, the world is your oyster. And that's what they told us, you know. But you know what? It wasn't true. You know, what they did was get us into the slave grid. They got us to think that, you know, our work ethic, we needed to show up every day and do the boss's bidding. And, you know, someday at the end of all that, you know, of showing up all that time, someday they'll give you a little check at the end. You get a little something. And so people believe that, you know, and they went down that road and they consumed and they did everything they were supposed to do. And they just went ahead and everybody was sleeping because we thought it was all good, but it wasn't all good, Charlie. And, you know, once you find out that, you know, I don't think God put us here to exist, to simply go to some slave job every day so that you can go down there and get some money. I don't think that's what the purpose of life is. But the thing is, from a societal perspective, without consumption, there's nothing. And so we're driven to consume, and we're driven to seek pleasure. And that costs money. Happiness doesn't cost money. You get happy when you see your kids, Charlie, you put your arms around them. That's free. You can't put a price on that, but you know, but pleasure seeking, well, that's a whole other thing that costs money, and that costs consumption. And that's so
what do you think is worse though? This menu where you look up there and you see that perfect cheeseburger that you know you're not going to get, or the other things in life where you go in to get to pay for the service, but there is no menu and you don't know what it costs. Like when you go to the hospital or when you go to the mechanic or when you pay your taxes, there's no itemized list of, oh, I want the foot surgery. It's $595.99. No, mm-hmm. No, you get that bill after it's already too late.
And then you have to dispute it. And of course, the healthcare system's a disaster. You look at that. Then you look at, you look at mechanics. What do people hate about mechanics? Well, you know, I said it was going to be about this much, but then we found this broken part and found this broken part and all these things add up. And next thing you know, the bill's four times higher than what they told you it might be or what your taxes are. Well, you know, how much are my taxes? I don't know. You're the one telling me I have to pay them. How much are they? Well, you figure it out. But if you're wrong, we'll put you in prison. No menu? Menu? Holy shit, man. That's a menu written in pencil. Constantly changing prices. Oh, well, you didn't say your transmission was going to be we got in there. I didn't see it until I got in there. And then I noticed your transmission was screwed. Are you talking about my transmission or are you talking about my ACL surgery? You know, like, what are we talking about here? Next thing you know, you got an unpayable bill.
And then came the insurance companies.
Then came those fucking insurance companies, man.
You pay them month after month after month after month in the event that someday, if and when something happens, you'll be covered.
Right.
But then you find out, whoa, you know, you weren't covered.
No.
Oh, wow. Yeah, see, that's the one. You mean you didn't read that there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got hurt on a Thursday, man. We don't cover on Thursdays. Sorry.
I think there is a menu for the United States of America, and it's called the Bill of Rights and the Constitution.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's people saying that, you know, throw it out. It's an old document or whatever. But I mean, it's the basis of everything that we believe in here in this country. So you can't just start, you know, selectively decide to disregard certain aspects of it.
You can if you're the Biden administration, because Anthony Blinken got busted having a meeting with Justin Trudeau and the president of Mexico, AMLO, where they talked about a shared constitution. Talking about how they were talking about the Declaration of North America, or DNA,
that's right.
And that's a shared right. constitution. Hey man, I got this pocket constitution here right in front of me. It doesn't say jack shit about Canada and Mexico. So help me figure this out.
Well, I'll help you. I'll help you figure it out, because we've been saying it on the show for a couple of years now, and we've been telling people that, you know, there used to be this old conspiracy theory about the North American Union.
Yeah. Aaron Russo, Freedom to Fascism, 2006, talking about the Amero, how exactly. that currency is going to be there, and how they're going to blend it together and click these groups up later into a world government. Never get the fuck out of here, Aaron Russo. You crazy old man. That's never going to happen. I don't care your time.
Wait till the
right Amero, now.
wait till the Amero is the digital currency of North America.
Yep.
That's what's going to happen. Man.
They pay you your universal basic income, because we're all in this together, Jimmy. And they're going to credit your account, provided you're up to date on your injections, of course, and provided that your social media history isn't shitting all over the Biden administration, and provided that, you know, you have blue hair and that you're stunning and brave and all these things. And if you meet all these qualifications, then we'll give you this digital dollar that we printed up out of thin air and put it in your account so that you can shop on the company store.
Mm-hmm. It is the company store model on the digital platform, for sure. No question. Only thing missing now is they had to get that carbon tax in order to drop the borders around the world. And because that's the only way to tax the collateral at that point. Once you let the collateral free to roam, you have to have a way to collect from the collateral, Charlie. So you need this carbon tax. But here, I would say, and let me get your opinion on this now. I would just say, just by the way that Trudeau has been acting and the way he's been treated throughout this whole situation that we've seen, I would say maybe the North American Union is sort of being governed by Canada. I would say that the Canadian person in charge at this point may be the president of the North American Union, just simply because he is one of those young up-and-comers from the World Economic Forum. He followed all the rules. He took people's money. He did everything he was supposed to do during that last couple, 3 years. And Biden administration, they don't seem very like they're doing anything except destroying America.
They're very weak. They're not coming from a position of strength. Their messaging is weak. They send Blinken out to meet with the Chinese. The meeting goes very poorly. And in Alaska, maybe a year ago, the Chinese stomped all over them. The people are very disjointed. They don't speak with confidence. Kamala Harris trying to explain time and space to people. Pete Buttigieg comes out, and he says, they said, well, what are you going to do about this Ohio train derailment? It's just a catastrophe. What are you going to do about it? His response is, well, I don't see what the big deal is. 1,000 trains derail every year. You go, really? That's your answer to this? If that's your answer, you're fired immediately. And that. So it's a very, weak, but Trudeau, you want to talk about a guy that is despised. And I spent so much time talking to Canadians at Anarchapulco that were all kind of the same belief. Like they felt like they had escaped. They said, oh, it's the first time we've escaped in a couple of years. They remember that, man. They remember that feeling of feeling locked down in their country and by somebody that, listen, if you're going to be locked down in your country, the very least they can do is have a strong man dictator, presiding over you. And then you look and you say, well, who's telling me I can't leave? And you see Justin Castro. That's the guy that's telling me that I can't leave. That's the guy that's going to stomp on the truckers and call them a bunch of domestic terrorists. That's the guy that's going to, try and silence free speech of all the people. That pussy's in charge of it. Like, you got to do better than that, man. You got to come up with it. It just seems like this is like the JV team is running this, like the say what you want about Trump. He was a ball buster and he was a big imposing figure and he talked big and he did, he was boisterous and he was a pain in the ass. But I look at Justin Trudeau and I just go, this guy, he doesn't bring any gravitas with him. He looks weak physically. He talks weak. He's whoever you want him to be. You've seen the Man of 1,000 Disguises with him dressed like an Indian and feather Indians and then like turban Indian and all kinds, and you just see him and you go, oh my God, like the idea of this guy in charge of my life is embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean,
leader of the North American Union, Justin Trudeau. Ugh.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. There he goes, Justin Castro. Yeah. No, I don't know, Charlie. It's a, I would say it's a critical time in America. What happens, I think, in the next year or so is going to determine what's going to happen for us for the next period of time. I'm just hoping, my grandma used to say hope in one hand and shit in the other one and see which one fills up first. And, I try to keep a positive attitude, but it's just onslaught of the last 2 months or so. It's just been one thing after another, after another, after another. It's like the American people don't have a chance to rest or get a break. There is no going back to normal anymore. It's just a different amount of, information that's coming in. That's just not good. Like I said earlier, there's no one out there standing up for peace. They had the protest yesterday.
Yep.
Were you over there? Did you go?
No, I was coming back from.
So there's like 500 people there is what I heard. I don't know how many people showed up, but I heard it was a small crowd and that the mainstream media used that to bolster the opinion that America wants war. That the reason there was nobody there is because we all want to go to war to save Ukraine.
Yeah. Well, they've had to lower the standards for people to get in the army because the American public is so fucking weak and stupid that they've lowered the physical requirements. They've lowered the educational requirements. They've lowered the physical components of the way you look. They've said, we'll allow neck tattoos, we'll allow knuckle tattoos, we don't care anymore. There's not enough people ready, willing, and able to serve. So they better, if they think they're going to get us involved in some war, they're going to be sorely mistaken when General Pronouns finds out that this is not a fighting force that's ready. This is a bunch of people that have been drummed out of the service for saying that they don't want to take the injections. Those people are gone. They're never coming back. And now you've got a new generation that can't even pass the pull-up examination. And when they do finally get in the Army, then they had to get do away with the day one hell week, banging the trash cans, wake up, you maggots, get on your feet, get your boots on, we're going for a jog. They had to get rid of all of that stuff because too many of the people that were just being brought in were having emotional breakdowns and were unable to handle it. So they had this is not a recipe for success. This feels like
That's exactly why they're why they have to reinstate the draft, John.
Yeah,
and because I mean, one of the things they mentioned over there in the Ukrainian situation was that these two older women got on camera and talked about how a whole generation of Ukrainians had been massacred, and you know they lost a whole generation, and the only people left were these old people. Were old people, and then a couple of days later, they went and killed those two ladies. These two 80-year-old ladies sitting there talking about it. So I mean, you can't talk about anything over there. And you know, how long is it going to be before that's the way it is here? How long is it going to be before you know, people's fetish for Trump and a strong leader and their infatuation for Putin because of it, when will that be considered treason?
Right.
Because I mean, you know, if that becomes the enemy, then anybody saying anything, you know. And the other thing too is, Charlie, is like people don't realize it's not, you know, the battlefield of the 21st century is the mind. It has nothing to do with how many buildings you blow up and how many tanks you have. There's no way to know how many millions of operators are on this internet, mind controlling people, making them think that, you know, it's this and it's that and it's the other thing. And it's really it's a force. There's a building over there filled with 10,000 people in it, and they're all on computers. Same thing in China. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. I can see you winding up on
that. Well, because I've been thinking about this lately, this mind control that's going on. And clearly we saw it. We're getting a real taste of it with the Twitter files. Not that we didn't know that the feds were deeply involved in that, but now we have concrete proof that the feds had a direct pipeline into the Twitter headquarters, and they could engage in a form of mind control via deleting posts, deleting people, deleting agendas, ideas, blacklisting them, shadow banning them, do not amplify in them. You know, all the tags that they put on this, we watched this happen. This is a form of you know, it's a form of mind control. And then on in conjunction with that, it feels like through the Hollywood apparatus, television, and whatnot, there is a push to normalize the concept of zombies. You know, like every program is now about zombies and has been for the last 10 years. And you go, oh, that's cute. You know, there's always been science fiction stuff. And you go, well, are we really talking about science fiction? Or are we talking about science future, where we've got a bunch of people that are acting like zombies, or that have their minds controlled, or that, you know, again, now we're back to transhumanism. Do we have implantable chips, or maybe we have smart technology that are inside people? How do you classify a zombie at this point? Is it somebody, we see this in nature sometimes with parasites that will take over bugs and control their brains and make them, you know, and navigate these beetles that get infected with these mind parasites. Mm-hmm. Are we not living through something similar? Where maybe not. Maybe it's not like a zombie with its arms stretched in front of it, dragging its feet, slowly walking down the streets, yelling, you know, mumbling, brains, brains, brains. But instead, it's more subtle than that. But we're a zombified nation.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, Charlie, because we recently did a show on ubiquitous monitoring of individuals at work. And this is called Bossware, if you want to search it. You can search this up. It's called Bossware. And this is a way for your employers to basically spy on you. Okay, but it's gone a little further than that now, Charlie, because now can literally monitor you. Let's say you have a document that's due at 3 o'clock today and you're hooked into the system here. And as you're doing your thing today, I can watch your brain activity. I'm watching you. You're getting stressed out. It's getting closer to the time. Now it's 3 o'clock. Oh, you turned it in and now you put on your music and you're listening to it and your heart rate goes back down and you're relaxed and you're feeling good about yourself. And so employers need to know this, Charlie, because they need to be able to know when you're stressed out and when you need to take a break. And so with the new ubiquitous monitoring and at the workplace, everyone will be able to know exactly where you're at any given moment and you won't have to worry, Charlie, because everything will be taken care of and you'll be able to be calm. And like, for example, they have these really neat baseball caps. You could put it on and it'll know if you're starting to fall asleep. For example, if you're a trucker, you could wear one of these baseball caps and it'll be able to tell by your brain waves, Charlie, if you're feeling sleepy. Now, I'm bringing this up, but you're asking yourself, well, where is this influence going to come from? You know, where's it going to come? Well, they got hats, but here's the really good one. And this one, when I saw it, was the one that really perked up old Jimmy's ears, because guess they have these headphones, Charlie. Mm-hmm. You could put them in your headphones and there they go. Now, if you have a Tesla and you buy the cheap model, everything's still there for the expensive model. They just have to turn it on with software.
Right.
If you get a pair of headphones, yeah, you can listen to music in it, but how do you know what else is in there? How do you know what other frequencies are being transmitted to your brain, Charlie? How do you know? How do you know if you're not being ubiquitously monitored? Every single person who has a pair of iPods in their ear, how do they know they're not being influenced by those iPods? They could be sending frequencies to your brain right now. I mean, what I'm talking about isn't just some made up speculation island stuff, man, because they actually showed a headset and earphones in this presentation at the WEF. You can go watch it. It's an hour long. But what really, like I say, what caught my eye was this headset, because here you are, you're working at the sweat box there and you're making phone calls, right? You got one of these headsets on so you can talk to the customers. How do you know they're not monitoring you when you're wearing that headset at work? You don't, because bossware is there ubiquitously.
God damn it. And you know it's either happening already or definitely coming. They can monitor, you know, they monitor your email usage, they monitor your websites that you're going to. X key score, you could monitor where people are typing, what they're typing. I fucking hate this job. I can't wait. I got a job interview tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Nobody knows. I'm calling in sick. All that right. Stuff. Oh, I could see that for sure.
There's no question. And I'm telling you, and there's no, it's just like in your house, for example, you have all these different devices around in your house, like your Amazon or your TV and your refrigerator and all this different stuff. Well, unbeknownst to you, there's a wireless Bluetooth network that's formed, unbeknownst to you, between these devices. You don't know it, you don't see it, but it's there. So this whole Bluetooth situation, I would say that Bluetooth is offering up some other benefits that we're not aware of. Yeah. And I would put forward that, and like I say, we just found this, so I haven't really gone into looking at it, but what I know from frequency-based information that we do talk about quite a bit, like I said, voice to skull has been possible for a long time.
Yeah.
And so, man, you're sticking the thing in your ear, man. You know, I mean, like I say, there's no way of knowing what these devices in your ear are actually doing until we actually look at it. But it seems a little bit weird. Beck Anglin in the chat room over here said Kev Baker would have loved this conversation.
Kev Baker would have loved this conversation. And I think of Kev often, and you, I met Kev and you at the same time, and you guys had been doing your thing for years and years. And I sort of parachuted in at the, the last moment, the last 4 or 5 years or so. And yeah, Kev would have loved this conversation because, you know, he loves the woo and
he does.
Where this is going. And, you know, he's lived in a smart city, which is code for a concentration camp in the lovely city of Glasgow, Scotland. He would appreciate a good boss where meet the new boss, same as the old boss. This boss is a robot. This boss is a Roomba that's mapping out the inside of your house and sending that information back to the mothership. So that when the SWAT team comes to break down your door, they know where your bedroom is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're living in that world, you know. Any day though, when the power goes out, most of that goes away.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I mean, on some level, you know, I mean, you know, I've done quite a bit of research into some different, you know, subject matters over the years. And one of the things that I find to be really, really interesting is these resets. And especially like this last one in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. Because to me, it looks like it's a bunch of people repopulating someplace that was already like that. I don't see enough people, technology, and food production to grind out the kind of cities that were supposedly built in just a couple of years, when it takes like years to build a single building sometimes.
Yeah.
Because of that kind of like guilty pleasure, that's a guilty pleasure of mine, an idea. Because of that, it makes me think that there's a cyclical event that happens that has detrimental effects to human beings on Earth, and that there is a select group of people that are aware of this schedule, and that maybe at the, you know, as it gets towards the nearing of this, whatever it is, they call it climate change, whatever they want to call it. I mean, we're seeing the breakdown of the polar vortex. We're seeing the literally the core of the Earth supposedly slowing down and right, coming to a stop, and, you know. And then I see the polar vortex breaking up, and then I'm seeing all this different stuff going on. It makes me kind of think, because you want to ask yourself, why would you destroy your business? In other words, they have this whole thing set up the way that it is. Why would they want to just come in and completely destroy it? Because it destroys their revenue stream.
Yeah.
Right? So there's got to be some reason that we don't know about for what's going on. Because otherwise, how could you explain any of this crazy behavior from these leaders? I mean, it's literally, Charlie, you got to come up with some speculation island thought to even begin to understand how someone could make a decision like that. Unless they knew they were going to, you know, float up into the sky.
Well, this idea of like imminent catastrophes that people know about makes me always think of something external, something coming in from, like, you know, Graham Hancock talked about this in Fingerprints of the Gods, this comet that broke apart into two different pieces and hit the Earth and then came back 1100 years later and wound up another piece fragmenting it, and then a destruction of a civilization. And that's something that if we are to believe NASA, which we are not to, but if you were to believe astronomy, you can see these things coming in. And then you get into the work of like John Cullen, who's writing about and showing video simulation showing multiple asteroids, or asteroids, I think, that's small pieces that were all inbound to hit the United States during a certain period, well, hit the world, and frankly, during a certain period in, I think it was like April of 2020, and it coincided with this push to bring in all these barges, the barge to Seattle, the barge to Los Angeles, the barge to New York, and to set up these field hospitals. There was this big rush to get all these field hospitals built, and everyone said, oh, it's got to be COVID related, right? Because this is the big thing. And they built these field hospitals and nobody came. And there was a huge push for a certain date for it to be built. And they got it up, and nobody came, and they waited 10 days or so, and then everything got taken down and put away, and nobody ever talked about it again. And he shows this simulation model that showed multiple inbound fragments that just barely missed Earth. And he was saying it was his belief that they were planning for some sort of occurrence where the Earth did get hit by things. And that would explain the reasoning behind it. And so I don't have any information one way or the other, but it was an interesting thought experiment too, because when you look back at it and you go, well, you know, maybe they do know something we don't know. We know they're pathological liars. We understand that for sure, but maybe they do know something we don't know. And if that was what it was, and you look at it and you go, this is why they were bracing for impact for something, some catastrophic event that didn't wind up happening. It got my attention. It made a little bit of sense. I wonder if there's something coming that would explain the underground bases that hold 50,000 people and have enough supplies to last you for 3 decades and things like that. Like, we know they exist.
And make up a big lie about the supply chain and start feeding and funneling all that
stuff underground. Yeah.
I mean, there's no way to know, you know. We just got to try to keep our heads and, you know, like I was saying earlier, there's no one in Congress who even understands the future. They're not even technologically astute enough to see what's going on. So we need people up there making things happen for the future, you know, based on all this technology that's coming out.
And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez didn't even know what a garbage disposal was. Okay, you think she understands the future? She can't even figure out the present. So we are ruled by morons.
Yeah, and I mean, our cognitive liberty is at stake. And once it's grandfathered in, it's too late. Like I say, there's no way to know what's coming out of those headphones you got in your head. Seriously, and I mean, I'm not jerking anyone's chain on this. I'm being dead serious. I am dead serious.
I guarantee you, you can go look at patents that DARPA has and Apple has and all these tech companies that are out there building things that are designed to deceive us. Yeah, to put thoughts in our head. Listen, our brains are just electromagnetic servers, you know, and if you know how to interact with that electricity, you can make them do all kinds of things. I voice-to-skull technology has been around for so long that they freaked out. I think it was Abu Zubaydah, one of the terrorist masterminds that the United States pretended was in charge of 9/11. But they said that they had him in a cell and they were bombarding him with voice-to-skull technology, telling him it was Allah, telling him, you need to give up. You need to tell these guys everything. It's the right thing for the cause. And they even did a little Project Bluebeam where they made, you know, an image of Allah appear in this guy's prison cell. The next morning, he sung like a fucking canary. So, you know,
I would.
You know, it's out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, the bottom line is all you got to do is turn it off. You know, you can turn it off and turn it on at your will and just not have it on all the time. But I mean, you know, I mean, realistically, We're in this electronic age, and until somebody gets control of their information is up for grabs for anybody who's got the money to buy it. Because it's all we're all out there running around putting our information out here 24/7, and so and they're collecting it, scooping it up like a net. I wanted to point out, listen, they've measured every single emotion, so they know what frequency anger is. They know what frequency happiness is, so on and so forth. So if I know that and I can broadcast that, and then I also know there was something called the gateway process. You can find it at CIA.gov if you want to look it up. But there was a supplemental to the gateway process document where they went through the gateway process itself and made points, you know, strong points about it. One of the biggest points was that the human body and the human being will resonate with whatever the strongest signal is that's coming in. So you could literally take somebody in an alpha state and put them in a beta state just by simply increasing the amount of power that's coming from the signal. Normally we're resonating with the earth, right? So we have our feet on the ground and there's the earth is resonating at a certain vibration. And normally we resonate with that. But because we're in this electronic soup of all these different frequencies, we're out of context with the Earth, and so we're off balance. And so it seems like every way we look, we're being pushed off balance. You can't, if a boxer's in the ring and he's trying to win a fight, he needs to get a minute, get his head back together. He just got hit. He needs to get his head back together. But if he gets hit again before he can get it together, it's only a matter of time before he gets knocked out. And I think that's where we are. We're being hit and thrown off balance in so many different areas that people can't take their shoes off, resonate with the earth, and like get a grip on the future. People, that's the biggest thing I think that I've heard from people, Charlie, recently, is that there's no way for them to think of the future. Like, they can't think of going and sitting on a warm beach somewhere and retiring with a little umbrella in their glass. You know, they can't think about what they're going to do next week. They can't think about a business because they don't know what kind of business to start in a situation like this. There's so many different things that have gotten us off balance. And I think, you know, the main thing is, you know, as people, we should try to focus and get back in check, you know, get ourselves back in tune, you know?
Yeah. I read this person was talking, I think I saw it online. They were talking about how they had just discovered that a large segment of the population doesn't have an internal monologue. Like, they just don't think about things like, oh, I would say this, and maybe, you know, and then that person might respond with this, and then I would say this back, or I'm thinking, you know, there these thoughts, these things that we sort of take for granted, this internal monologue. They were talking about this with a group of people, and the group of people were going, what are you even talking about? Like, they'd never heard of it. They had no internal monologue, and they didn't understand what this person was saying. They thought he was making it up. And then you go, well, wait a second. Then you see the NPC memes, you know, and all these people, all the gray people that look exactly the same. And you go, That's it. They've disconnected your internal monologue. You have no ability to filter out thoughts before they come out of your mouth. You simply, you're missing that connective tissue between your brain and maybe your soul in your brain, in your mouth, and there's just nothing there. It seems like that might be the way that people are being so easily influenced. You see the sort of meme of the chip going in the NPC's head, and it says, I stand with Ukraine, and then you see it come out, and a new one being put in that says, like, you know, gender is a construct or whatever, you know, all these nonsensical things that people are automatically told that they're supposed to believe. Part of them they believe it because they have no ability to filter out or weigh logic and reason versus this insane ideas that's being taught to them.
I think you're onto something here. Now, I didn't consider this ever before, this conversation, but I think you're onto something. Because I think they've figured out a way to turn that off, and that's what they do. And so, just like only certain people like the Grateful Dead,
yeah,
and other people absolutely hate them. So the Grateful Dead doesn't care about the people that hate them; they're only concerned with the people that love them. And it's the same thing with these frequencies and this electronic mind control. Is that it works, but it only works on some people. Okay, so some people are susceptible. And so when they are, boom, they follow the crowd, just like you're talking about. I'm going to look into this because I actually had a conversation about this before, about internal dialogue. And like, I asked people on the show about it. Like, do you think in words, you know, do you think in words, do you talk to yourself? And I had a person say, no, they didn't.
Yeah.
And that was interesting to me because I was thinking to myself, oh, well, how do you hash stuff out in your head? You know, I mean, you know, you weigh things. I guess it's possible to think without language or symbols. I don't know how, but.
I wondered if I was just, you know, I wondered if maybe this was, I'm not super artistic. You know, I can't play an instrument. I can't paint a painting. I guess maybe some people would say writing books is artistic, but I don't really think of it like that. I look at those people and I go, wow, your brain works way differently than mine. Like the people that can sit down with a pencil and just draw out like a tiger, you know, and you go, holy shit. Like, to me, that's magic. You know, that is, mm-hmm. that is, my brain doesn't work that way. So I wondered if when I hear these people going, what are you talking about? Internal monologue. I think, well, maybe they're just more artistic. And maybe that's the way they think. And then I think, well, okay, maybe that's the case, but still, there's a certain level of logic that needs to be there. And it seems like these people are detached from that logic component. And it's like the circuitry has been fried and it just doesn't fit anymore. And I wonder if that's the education system. I wonder if that's electromagnetics doing that. I wonder if it's the diet or all the above. You know, I don't know. It just seems that some people, no matter what you do, you show them the facts and evidence, they just can't figure it out. And those people seem to be in that NPC class that's very easily manipulated. And I wonder if that is something that has been sort of building over time, or if they have actually found a way to flip the switch and turn people's brains off.
They flip the switch, my man. The only explanation for it. I mean, other than that, I can't explain what goes on.
Oh man, I missed the good old days when they used to just put satanic lyrics hidden in your music. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's Jimmy Jean, everybody. Hey, Jimmy, tell the people where they can find you, where they can find your shows and support your work and all that good stuff.
10-4, it's intothemicrocosm.com, and we just started a new network. It's called the Independent Broadcast Network. IBN247.com is where you can go. And we have some shows over there. We're just getting rolling. And so our show is there at 9 o'clock Pacific. It's Revolution Radio, 9 o'clock Pacific on Friday nights is a live show. And then we do a Saturday night show on Independent Broadcast Network at 7 p.m. Pacific. So if you want to catch us, you can catch us there. And thank you, Charlie, for having me on. I really enjoyed being here with you today, man. It's been a great conversation.
I appreciate it. And sometimes I'll listen to Into the Microcosm. You'll catch me on those in those chats and everything. And
yeah, man.
I like it because you blend, you do the thing that's really tough to do. You take a theme, an idea, a concept, and then you bring in the music that matches that. And it takes people on a ride, man. It's the best radio show that's out there because it's well thought out, and you do a great job. Plus, you play good music too, man, and that always helps.
And you know, we're doing the show kind of, you know, it's the show's on a certain level. So I think a lot of people that do shows, they like to hang out. You know, it's like something to do. You know, so
yeah.
We really appreciate you, Charlie. We love you so much, man, and wish you more and more success, man. You're doing great, and just happy to be a part of everything, you know, meeting you with Kev and becoming friends, and it's just, you know, it's been fantastic, bro.
It's the universe. It brought us all together, and I appreciate that, and I wish Kev was here, but I think of Kev as a booster rocket that took us into the stratosphere, and the auxiliary rockets are kicking in, too. But he did it such a fantastic job of getting me off this planet, you know, in a metaphoric sense. And you've been a part of that. So everybody go check out Jimmy Jean, support his work. If you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggression or the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.